gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Guess who's on the show today?
Who?
Siri. Isn't that great? Chris LaBoy.
That's my first question to her.
Right. Well, she actually can pronounce your name. Susan Bennett, the voice of Siri.
That's right.
On the big show. And Hump Days with Sexy Level Health Sparks. Ooh, lots of sexy liberal announcements coming up, including a big one tomorrow.
I have heard that the female voice...
Friday. What's today?
What? Today's Wednesday.
Okay.
Hump day with Hal.
Siri, what day is it? Okay, sorry. No, go ahead.
I have heard that the female voice of Siri does not get along with the new male voice of Siri.
Oh, they're like the bickering announcers in Airplane?
Uh-huh.
That are like the curbside announcers?
Yes. You just want me to get an abortion.
Ah!
Jane, you ignorant
She's
slut.
Actually the voice of Delta Airlines as well.
Yes.
Right.
She's the voice of a whole lot of things.
Yeah. Betty Boop.
Yep.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So we will. And she has her own home studio, so she never has to leave her house, Stephanie.
Oh, isn't that something? Isn't this exciting, professional voice guy, Jim Ward?
I have a studio, but there's nothing in it. It's just a padded cell, which is appropriate.
Which is also necessary.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Hey, you know, every day we take a, call from some right-wing tool with it. You can hear the talking point crinkling on Obamacare. And, of course, the big one. Sean Hannity and his fake.
Yes.
The fake people he had on that are enduring the horrors of Obamacare, except that they're not.
Yep.
One of the things is always, I got the part-time jobs, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Computer
Everybody's
got
to go part-time.
Mm-hmm.
Or as Skeeter said, every small business in America is going to have to fire everybody. Well, looky here. Obamacare is not cutting full-time jobs. You know what? We have to back that up. Numbers. The new numbers.
Facts.
Right. Things like that. The White House said Tuesday there's no evidence the Affordable Care Act is driving up the number of part-time workers. The number of people with part-time jobs who want full-time work, for example, was essentially flat in September at 7.9 million.
Mm-hmm.
We are not seeing any effect in the data, economist. Also, the number of part-time workers spiked in 2008, well before Obamacare was enacted, and has been slowly falling as a share of total employment since 2010. So, with that, Skeeter.
Benghazi.
Right. That's why Fox was right back on Benghazi. All right, talk amongst yourselves. I'm looking for something that I
need. Hamana, hamana, rutabaga, rutabaga, rutabaga.
Oh, okay. No, I'm back.
Okay.
Nobody help me. Oh, you weren't going to. Okay.
Not really.
Okay. Somebody crunched the news. So the jobs report, obviously the unemployment rate fell. We added jobs, but it wasn't great. It wasn't.
Right.
There's some good bits, as I'm reading in the some fun
good
facts.
Little
from the
chunks?
Daily. Yes, there's some good chunks. Would you like Mama to pre-digest them and put them in your mouth? I will.
Sure.
Okay, from the Daily Beast. In September, as businesses nervously cast their eyes to the Beltway, the economy did not add many jobs. That's the other thing, is you cannot say there's no effect with all this stuff that's been going on in Washington. Blah, blah, blah. 148,000 new positions were added. The unemployment rate fell to 7.2, as we said. In all, a very meh report. Meh. Two interesting tidbits, however. Every month since February 2010, the private sector has added jobs. We've talked about this before, about 7.5 million in total. Virtually every month since May 2010, the public sector, state, local, and federal government has cut jobs. That does not typically happen in a normal recovery, except that we have Republicans rooting for public employees to lose their jobs. In Washington, the furloughs, the sequester, and the general drive for lower spending has helped keep a lid on federal employment. It was reduced by 87,000 jobs just in the past year. But at the state and local level, something is beginning to change. We've noted that the fiscal picture in states and cities has been brightening. We talked about that out in relation to California.
That's right.
Thanks to tax increases, reforms, and economic growth, state revenues have risen for 12 straight quarters. And dozens of states, many of which cut jobs to close their annual deficits, are now reporting surpluses, like out here in California.
Uh-huh.
After we said, hasta la vista. To Arnold. As a result, state, cities, and counties are finding they are able to hire or rehire teachers, police officers, and other workers. Remember when we liked all those people?
Yes.
Uh-huh. The data also revealed another interesting trend. For months, conservative analysts have been decrying the fact that a great deal of private sector job growth seems to come in the form of part-time jobs. That's this been the talking point. The supposed culprit, of course, Obamacare, and more generally, Obama. But in the data in today's report, the number of people who report themselves as working part-time has actually fallen in the past few months and in the past year. That would be fallen. So, right.
That's the correct direction.
I love that they feel they have to say this in Daily Beast. If employers were cutting down from full-time to part-time status in anticipation of affordable care, that number would be going up.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Daily Beast. Yes. Well, yes.
The Daily Beast writes for the common man.
Right, right.
Not for the wonks that marinated every day like we do.
Right. Oh, I see. So you mean that's a big lie I heard on Fox? Yes.
In addition to the $240 billion that it lost with the shutdown, or $24 billion, whatever it was. But, man, billion here, billion there, pretty soon you're talking real money.
Right.
But 120,000 jobs were lost.
No, exactly. Anyway, but these are glimmers of some of the weights holding down job growth are lifting. So let's hope so, and let's hope they can undo the sequester. And anyway, it just goes to show you, if we were getting any help from the backstage crew in the House of Representatives, we could be doing much, much better. All right. And by the way, speaking of the whole... Oh, my God! The website's broken! Apparently, the Kentucky...
Yes.
You know, the one that's working so well. It's fixable, and there's proof. A Kentucky Insurance Exchange website avoids federal pitfalls despite the same IT contractors...
Okay.
So they're basically working out their... They worked out their kinks. Aside from some first-aid glitches, Kentucky's state-run health insurance website has avoided the problems that continue to stymie the federal website used by 36 states. And it's done it despite using some of the same technology contractors that help work to put together the federal site. It's the CGI Group of Canada everybody keeps talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The lead technology contractor on the federal health exchange website is facing blame for the botched rollout. But it was also a subcontractor in creating Kentucky state-run exchange that is being held up as a successful example. For instance, when heavy traffic on opening day blocked some people from creating accounts, state technology teams added servers and processing power to keep the site functioning. 3 weeks on, users have been able to get through the process with no major reported hitches. So, obviously that's what they're saying they're working on the federal end. But anyway, because it's the same company.
Yeah.
All right. So. All that happened. So there. Oh my God! Look at this breaking news on Obamacare. Biggest Obamacare news of the day: 270,000 people in Ohio will get Medicaid as the state okays expansion.
Mm-hmm.
What has happened with Kasich? He did something good. Medicaid expansion funding gets approval.
Yeah.
Yeah. He found religion, apparently. He said something about helping poor people, and that he would have a bigger judge later, and something. Has he been struck in the head, or what's...
I don't know.
What's happened?
Well, he hasn't been on Fox News lately, so
right.
Maybe he's been away from there, and he's actually got some
sense. He's been replaced by a robot.
Maybe. He said something about helping actual people in the actual state of Ohio that would...
I've decided to start helping actual people in...
Uh-oh.
I may have spoken too soon.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. All right. All right, so lots to get to with all of that. Mike in L.A. on the Affordable Care Act. Hello, Mike.
Stephanie, the Republicans love poor people. They're willing to make so many of them.
Hi.
But,
see what you mean.
Yeah. Seriously, though, I need your help being a good citizen and understanding current affairs because, just let me run this past you and see if I got it right.
Okay.
Republicans are saying that Secretary Sebelius should be fired because people in Republican-controlled states have been delayed signing up for a new health insurance plan, right?
Yes, correct.
Right.
Okay, but these are the same guys who a week earlier were willing to wreck the world's economy to prevent that same plan from taking effect. Is that right?
And now they're concerned that we're not doing it fast enough.
Yeah.
So, okay, by the way, did you see Nancy Pelosi said, we appreciate our colleagues' newfound concern in implementing Obamacare.
So aren't they actually saying that they should be fired?
Yes, I think you're right. I think you're right.
You're fired.
Exactly.
Let's hope that happens in 2014. Yeah. Lori in Connecticut on Affordable Care as well. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Steve. Steph, just a quick update. I called in before, and I just want to let you know that, first of all, I'm in Connecticut. Our exchange works beautifully. It's been noted for how efficient it is.
And you're in one of those helpful blue states.
Yeah, helpful blue states. It's amazing. But I've applied for two different plans, both of which give us much better coverage, much, much lower deductibles, and one would cost $200 a month less, and the other would cost $300 a month less.
Right.
And at this point, we're waiting to be approved. Like, the process takes some time. You know, I started this last week, and I'll sign up when everything has been okayed and I can go. So it's not like an instantaneous thing. And I've been doing this for a long time because we've gotten our own health insurance for a long time, and it's complicated. So
right.
People are not going to be able to sign up like that. And just another quick thing,
right.
Chris Hayes last night had on a Fox News reporter who did the same thing, and she actually wrote a whole article. It's on Reddit saying about how much better her coverage is in New York and how much cheaper it is. So
yeah,
it's working in the blue states, and it's working in other places.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly.
Fox News allowed a Fox News reporter on MSNBC?
What? What's
wait
going
minute,
on?
Wait a minute.
Wait.
What now? And John Kasich is, wait a minute. She perhaps missed our skit by the Stephanie Miller Players yesterday about how in the good old days before Obamacare, things were so much simpler. This is how you would get insurance then. Hello, sir. What is your name?
Jim.
Here is your insurance, sir. I'm sorry I've kept you so long.
Why, thank
good
you.
Day. We'll need no further information. Thank you for coming. Sorry to have inconvenienced you. Okay. And see. All right.
Right.
Okay. Yes. Yes. 17 minutes old. Oh, it's a big government wanting information from you. Last name.
Sheesh.
Address.
Tyranny. Kenyan Muslim.
Yeah. 17 minutes. Thank you, Skeeter. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie. Don't be a hero, don't be a fool if you lie.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show, minus Stephanie, because she suddenly had to run to the bathroom.
Those of you on Ustream could see her decide whether she should be able to leave or not. She asked me how many seconds, how much time do we have left?
Ten seconds.
10 seconds. Seriously. Are you okay?
I'm fine.
How's your ass?
Okay. Woo, thanks. Everything's good. Sorry about
okay.
that.
Okay.
Sorry about the carpet. Okay. 22 minutes after the hour. Okay, this is a good story. What happened there.
Did you have the drunken Canadian intern clean it up?
He's throwing the orange powder down.
Mr. Suggs.
This is what happens when I go on the wagon. I went on the wagon for one night. So, you know, last night I fell off a little hard. That could have been what it was. Woo! Yeah, that was a bad idea.
What?
I picked a bad day to quit drinking and sniffing airplane
glue. Yeah, that threw you off yesterday.
Woo, I'll say. All right, here's the story. everyone's talking about the Dick Durbin. Said a GOP leader, we're not saying who, he wasn't saying who, actually said to the president's face during the recent, you know, shutdown thing and negotiation, I can't even stand to look at you. I don't know who it could be. I'm guessing someone with a bitch face.
Oh, I can't even stand to look at you. I'm going back to Montauk where there are no brown people.
Stephanie Miller Show does not have any information if that's exactly what was said or who said it.
Something
we're just
like
saying.
It,
we're just saying. Dick Durbin says a House Republican leader told off President Obama. If you wonder if this disrespect is the same in private as it is in public, obviously the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
And is it unprecedented? Yes. From a congressman yelling, you lie, at the president during a State of the Union, to this. It was during a negotiation meeting. He said they're so disrespectful, it's practically impossible to have a conversation with them. In a negotiation meeting with the president, one GOP House leader told the president, I cannot even stand to look at you, Durbin wrote in a post on his Facebook page over the weekend. He did not specify which leader made the comment.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more. Montauk.
But we're guessing code word Montauk. he said, and Durbin said, what are the chances of an honest conversation with someone who has just said something so disrespectful?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they have just dispensed with any respect for even the office of the presidency at this point. That is, and by the way, there's a great piece about how this all went down, this whole thing that ended up in just disastrous defeat. There's another poll I saw yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
CNN poll, 63% of Americans disapprove of Republicans. I mean, they're just, they're plummeting. They are plummeting. And it's stuff like this, you know. It's. And I love Ted Cruz. He said he put out an internal memo about how great the strategy was. Really? Is that?
Wow.
Internal Cruz memo lauds the defund strategy. Yeah. In a memo obtained by the Daily Caller, Senator Cruz's office argued the defund strategy that resulted in the government shutdown and horrific polling numbers for the GOP, quote, produced tangible results. Oh, it did. For Democrats.
Sure.
And Republicans and the president, excuse me. And rebuked the establishment politician and members of the pundit class who criticizes Cruz's hardline tactics. Okay. The defund plan produced tangible results that create both immediate and long-term benefits for the country and the conservative cause. Right.
Whatever.
Right. Such as? President Obama, the memo went on to say, is responsible for shutting down the government because he refused to negotiate with the House of Representatives to keep the government open.
Yeah.
What? Oh, please. Tell your bull walking. Really? Who to say he's got to, like, send a memo to his own staff? Yes, please. Tell Senator Cruz whenever you see him that what he did is real good. What you did is real good.
Real good, Anthony.
Yeah.
We love TV Night, Anthony.
It was terrific.
You're a bad man. I'm going to wish you out in the cornfield.
Cindy in Boston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Cindy.
Hey, Stephanie. Long time since I've called.
Oh, my
goodness. How are you doing? I hope fine.
Good. Miss you.
Yeah, well, I'm around.
Right.
I'm just now healthy and can get away from the radio.
Oh, good. All right. Go ahead.
I've noticed in Massachusetts where we have RomneyCare that we have not having all of this consternation about policies being canceled and everything.
Right.
Maybe because we've gone through this all. And interestingly enough, RomneyCare never really suffered through a repeal attempt. In fact, the only repeal that happened was this July when they went to repeal a provision of it so that business owners wouldn't be paying both the Massachusetts government and the United States government.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, and that's the amazing thing, Cindy, is they're still at it. She's got to go. Okay. or she just had grown tired of me. That tends to happen.
Maybe she had an accident like you did.
Maybe. I didn't have an accident. It was just ill timed.
Okay.
I just don't pay any attention to you. I have how long? Ow. Oh. He's lying. I have longer than 10 seconds. Button pusher.
Uh-huh.
All right. But I was going to say, I was reading some other story that they're still at it. They're still hoping to, repeal or, certain parts of it. It is beyond obsession at this point. I can't remember who that was.
I mean, it's already working. I mean,
right. Right. Oh, now they're pushing to delay the individual mandate because of the computer things. As the president said the other day, it's time to stop rooting for its failure and actively continuing to spread disinformation. I mean, it's really incredible. Chuck in New Mexico. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, how are you?
Hello.
Yeah. I was going to say that, I respect Richard Durbin very much. And he has the right attitude. I'm a 71-year-old man, and I've never seen politics get this nasty.
Yeah.
And the way they treat the president and the office of the president.
Yeah.
The Tea Party should get, it should be replaced. I'm ready to vote right now.
Chuck, as you know, my dad ran with Goldwater against, Lyndon Johnson. And trust me, my dad was no fan of Lyndon Johnson. I can no more imagine him saying to the president's face, "I can't stand to look at your face," than, and maybe I'm sound old-fashioned and crotchety at this point, but you don't say that to the president of the United States. You just, yeah. Okay. All right. That one's too long. All right. Kathleen Sebelius, that's now, of course, here we go with investigations. Are they taking a brief Benghazi pause?
Yeah.
We talked about having testing going forward, and if we had an ideal situation and could have built a product in, a five-year period of time, we probably would have taken 5 years, but we didn't have 5 years.
That's right. You go into the healthcare fight with the website you have, not the one that you wish. All right, never mind. Never mind.
That didn't work out for Donald Rumsfeld.
All right. The voice of Siri next on the Stephanie Miller. Oh, no, wait. Coming up in this half hour on the Stephanie Miller Show.
revised agenda for Saturday night. Free booze.
Stephanie Miller.
Party, then robots versus wrestlers.
Aww. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Jace, the president's Carney.
You'll get no argument from me or anyone else here that there are problems and there were problems that need to be addressed. And we're improving the experience for consumers every day. We won't rest until Americans who want to get more information about the affordable healthcare options available to them through the website are able to do that smoothly and are able to register and sign up.
You know what would be helpful if we had an opposition party that was helpful in any way in this regard, improving and helping implement the law of the land?
That's not their job to be helpful.
I don't even want to.
No, but seriously, they're
going
to take time for more hearings. They're going to pause from Benghazi hearings for a moment to investigate rather than go,
hearings.
How do we all help? Why, Mr. President, how might we all as Americans help our fellow citizens get affordable health care?
They've given up beating up on Hillary, so they're going after Kathleen.
You're expecting way too much. Your dad wouldn't have even done that.
Yes, he would have. He would have gone in the Oval Office and said, why, Lyndon, after you.
Oh, no. You
no,
first.
He would
Thank
not.
You.
Mr. President, how might I and Barry Goldwater help?
He would not have
no,
done that.
No, you first. I. Okay.
That you're living in a fantasy land. If
I'm
you think.
A daddy's girl.
I know.
Welcome to Candyland.
Dave in Chicago.
Hey, Steph.
My
good
pessimism
morning.
Went
hey,
down
guys.
A chute and a ladder.
Good morning.
Thank you.
I'm a pretty progressive Democrat. But I was thinking, run this idea by you. What would you think about delaying the individual mandate?
You are a progressive Democrat, so you are both a progressive and a Democrat?
I've heard some House members say that as well,
really?
Democrat House members.
Well, yeah, delaying it from the standpoint of Justin, don't say anything now.
Okay.
Just until the website is then up and running.
Well, it is up and running.
Correctly, and then after that occurs, then it could come out, the president, and say, okay, it took a month and a half, so we're going to delay the deadline by a month and a half.
I think it's premature to say that. I'm not saying I smell right-wing color, but maybe.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, because if they didn't already have the veneer of trying literally everything to chip away at this or stop it or whatever, of course, it's been up for how many days? And it's like, oh, well, now we need to take away this big part of the... Because they know that any little parts they can take away is going to make less likely to work.
But what he suggested,
it's premature.
I know. I it kind of makes sense, though.
We're Kathleen Sebelius. She's on it.
We want to make sure that we have the best and the brightest in terms of tech folks. We have gathered them together and asked the contractors to bring their A-team to the table, have asked the presidential innovation fellows to add some strength, because we just want to make sure we get all the right answers and do what is needed to be done as quickly as possible to open up the doors of this marketplace.
How does one become a PIF, a presidential, in what is it, something fellow, information fellow?
Yeah, I don't know.
Huh. I would like to be a PIF.
Wouldn't you like to be?
Snip. No, that's a sod snick.
Okay.
Presidential information fellow.
He has a very delicate neck. Jim in California. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
You know who's behind this? All this negativity and attempt to destroy the affordable care? It's the private insurance companies. They've gone back and looked at their profits, and then there's one company, I won't mention any names, but who has sent out a letter to their clients saying that they would no longer be able to cover them because the terms of the contract had changed due to the Affordable Care Plan. Then they came out, the same insurance company, with a plan that the premium was doubled. And said, oh, well, you could get that plan if you still want health insurance. This
wow.
is who's behind all
well, that's
this.
That's the thing, Jim.
Stuff.
It's like this has gotten so politicized that I don't doubt that some people, including some employers, are telling their employees or whoever people, or like you said, insurance companies didn't go, oh, well, it's because of Obamacare. Because they're already...
That's an easy,
look at these
easy
people,
excuse.
Look at these poor people on Fox News. They're telling Sean Hannity what a nightmare it's been. Well, come to find out, they haven't even checked the exchanges. And and when a reporter did, one of them, it's like 63% lower their premiums can be, but they're like, oh, I'm not going to do that because it's Obamacare. And then the other
right.
one's like, oh, I'm not going to do it because I heard the website doesn't work. Oh, okay. So,
Obamacare broke the internets.
Right, exactly. Thanks, Obama. Sarah in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, I wanted to share with you guys that our local news has had these horrible stories about how bad the website is. Mm. And then last night, they profiled a person here in Central PA that they put this really negative slant on it, right? It was going to be this bad experience. So she got on the exchange, and after an hour, she found out she wasn't eligible for the subsidy, but she found a really competitive price, and she was able to enroll herself and her two children. And then the end of the story was kind of like, unfortunately, she was very happy with her experience with the website.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's, and Sarah, the other thing is nobody, I don't think on our side is trying to pretend this is working flawlessly or every story is great. But you're right. A lot of the outlets, there's a vested interest in Obamacare is a train wreck. You know what I mean? Or it's a disaster. And so we, exactly, they're looking for those. And what does it take on a huge show like Sean Hannity's that he couldn't find three actual couples that were hurt by Obamacare?
He wanted something to push his narrative.
Right. Exactly.
But if I were his booker, I would book people like that, too.
The insurance companies want to go back
well,
to
even
where
you do a minimum of fact-checking. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Jim. What?
They want to go back to when they can deny people coverage because of pre-existing conditions again.
Yeah.
Because that's very profitable for them.
Yeah.
But it's not the point of health insurance. Health insurance is to keep people healthy.
Yeah. I'm sure there's private conversations. Can you believe we have to insure all these sick people?
Oof. What the hell? Why would they just die?
This is, and in fact, somebody has already speculated that, this conspiracy theory.
Oh, for God's sake, just die.
The president screwed up the website on purpose in order to get the single payer more quickly.
Well, there that makes better
no
ways
sense
to
whatsoever.
Do that.
Right.
I know, I'll sabotage my own plan.
Right, right. Oh, well, this Representative Andy Harris, Republican of Maryland.
And I'm sure he knew in September that there's no way that this government-run website was going to work. You know,
right.
You put .gov at the end of any website, it's more expensive, and it doesn't work.
Right, right. That was probably his plan all along.
Well, Sebelius said last night that the president did not know about the problems until the problems occurred. So,
yes,
I believe her.
Yes. All right. By the way,
what?
I installed my own e-print thing on my iPhone.
You mean I don't have to come over to your house
don't
anymore?
Don't tell me that glitches can't be fixed. No. Listen, I want you to come over less than you want to come over, so I was motivated to fix that thing myself.
Wow. You are just throwing the digs my way.
If I can fix e-print.
Well, then why did you have me come over in the first place?
You know why? Because you irritated me by being a panty waist. Well, maybe we should delay the mandate.
And so that's why yesterday you fixed your e-print?
Right. Because I knew that you were going to... What are the chances you're not going to irritate me every day? Bob in Colorado, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Bob.
How are you? I really am a small business owner, and I've dealt with insurance for years, and that's a nightmare. Mm-hmm. The past was horrible. But what my point is like all this flapping about the internet and the website and all this. It, what was interesting was like on Good Morning Joe, they tried to call and they got through in 76 seconds.
Yeah,
Hannity called. He got connected. And my point is that 20% of the people in the United States do not have internet access. Those people are the people who are going to be the consumers for the exchange.
Right.
And they're going to be using the telephones.
Yeah.
So, you know, the flap about the website is who cares, you know? Social Security, you call. They've got an excellent phone system for that. It works. And, people use the telephone.
Older people like to use the telephone, but younger people whom the president wants to get on, younger healthy people that the president wants to get on Obamacare, they use the internet. They don't make phone calls.
I am an elderly person to which you refer. I like to use the telephone.
I know you do.
I am
you
not
call
on
me
the,
all the time.
I am not on the Facebook. Exactly. I know, don't you? And you always sound the same when you answer the phone.
You're the only.
What?
You're the only
just text
person.
Me.
You're the only person who calls me ever, ever.
It's because I can't be as irritating technologically. I have to make my point over and over again. And how many times have I asked for that music bump? And how long ago was it supposed to be done? Okay, I can't hector you properly.
I gave you bubble butt.
Well, sounds like a disease.
This is why he doesn't want to take my phone calls, Jim.
Because of this.
Right. Because of things like that. You know, I think it'd be a really good bump. It's in my spinning class. It's this. Yeah? Do it. Stick it out.
Stephanie Miller.
Bubble butt. Bubble butt. Bubble butt. Bubble butt.
No, that's awful.
Buddy in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, buddy. That looks like someone's motorboating.
Yes.
Okay.
Hey,
hi,
Mama.
Hello.
Hey, let me tell you about my Obamacare website horror story.
Oh, yes, please. Let me pull the covers up and get a flashlight.
It took me an extra... I need a woman scream at the end of this.
Okay.
It took me an extra 30 seconds because I just fill out the...
Tyranny.
I didn't fill out
Hitler.
The fields completely, and then it backed up and said an error, and then it underlined that I didn't fill out my street address.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, how can America live with this sort of thing?
Well, yesterday was the day freedom died, clearly.
Because obviously, Catherine Sebelius and Barack Obama write web code.
Yes, exactly.
They do that. But honestly, I have been inundated with offers, and every one of them have been better than what I'm getting, and it's amazing. You know this, you know, upset about the website?
Yeah.
It's just Benghazi with another word. They're looking for something to stick the president on.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't
Tyranny,
that,
Hitler, freedom.
Exactly. Isn't that right, Daryl Issa? Oh, Daryl Issa, has he ever done an investigation before?
The president put politics ahead of his own program working effectively and easily for hundreds of millions of Americans.
Right, right. That was his plan all along.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, you got a single payer. Okay. Now can we be friends?
I was supposed to be governor.
God, he's a whiner.
I need to go steal a car. Okay. 40.
Why doesn't he investigate his own car theft past?
Yeah.
Right.
Investigate himself.
Yeah,
insurance fraud. Alleged
that.
Insurance
Suss
fraud.
Suss around in there a little bit before you get back to Benghazi. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the... Oh, with Siri. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my. How ruthlessly absurd.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Stop motorboating me. I have to do an interview now.
God, I hate this.
I love it, love it, love it, love it.
What does Siri think of it?
Oh, well, let's find out. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone. Hey, let me ask her. Siri, would you like to come on my radio show right now?
Okay, I found this on the web.
Oh, Siri. Susan Bennett, the voice of Siri, joins us now. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
Wow.
Okay, that's freaking me out already.
Hello, Stephanie. How are you?
Okay, stop it.
Okay, I will.
Okay. By the way, I've been my producer, Chris Lavoie. Can you explain to me why you pronounce his name Lavoie?
I cannot.
Yeah, it just happens, you know.
Now, that's where I'm going to blame the scientists, the guys that did the concatenation.
Yes.
So
I recall pronouncing it correctly in 2005 when it was recorded.
Right,
right. And also, can you tell us what you're doing when you're embarrassed and you're sorry, but you cannot take requests right now? What are you doing? Bikini wax, what's happening?
No, that is one of the greatest secrets of the entire Siri business. Now, that cannot be divulged.
you're hanging out with Hal 9000, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, Dave.
Actually, he's really boring.
That.
No.
What? So I was reading a great article about you this weekend. What made you decide to come out as Siri, so to speak?
Well, it's really strange. It took me a really long time to decide to do that. It took me 2 years, really. My husband and son were just going crazy trying to convince me to do it. I wasn't exactly sure if I wanted the notoriety or, you know, there were a lot of different issues for me. And finally, the thing that tipped the scales was a video that came out about a month ago detailing the text-to-speech process. And it was very, very interesting. It was called How Siri Found Its Voice, and it featured a female text-to-speech actor, Allison Dusty.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone jumped to the conclusion that she was Siri. And so just being on the, you know, not being able to make this decision, I thought, well, people seem to be interested in this, and I know it's my voice, so
you're right.
I went ahead and disclosed.
Here's one of my other bugs. I'm sure you have people discussing all of this with you, but why is it that Siri doesn't know what I mean by something that she knew what I meant by yesterday? Like, when I call, like, Roland, my tour director, every morning, I say, Siri, call Roland Scahill. And then some mornings, you'll just be like, I don't know what you mean by call block. And it's something that I wasn't even close to what I said.
All I can say is that they seem to have carried over some human characteristics into the technological, the piece of technology that is Siri, because
right.
she definitely has attitude.
Yeah. Right.
And sometimes she'll answer you, and sometimes she won't. For instance, I always ask her if she knows we're related, and she refuses to admit it. She disses me every time. And
she won't answer me if she's helping the NSA spy on me.
Oh, no. No, she will never admit that.
When you're as old as I am, it is an amazing technology, though, isn't it?
Oh, it absolutely is. It's funny that people get so frustrated with it because we expect so much of something that's basically kind of a new phenomenon. When you think about the technology that went into creating this Siri virtual assistant, not only just taking creating the sound of the voice, but programming all of her responses, it's unbelievable, really.
My favorite was I actually was looking for a podiatrist, and you said, oh, the agony of defeat. And then you I was like, oh, Siri, all right, you know what? My toe hurts. I don't have time for this. Just where is the foot doctor?
Well, Steve Jobs absolutely interjected his own humor and things that he appreciated humor-wise into the Siri character, because I'm not sure if you're familiar with Fire Sign Theater. There's a fabulous story. My husband is a huge fanatic about Fire Sign, so he knows all of the stories. And the one that he's told me about, and which relates to Siri, is that these guys could see into the future, I swear. So many of the things that they envisioned in their first radio shows in the 70s have actually come to pass. And one of the things is there's a character named Clem who has to register with a computer in this futuristic time. And he speaks to the computer, which is odd to begin with, and the computer asks for his name. He hesitates a moment and says, Clem. So from then on to the computer, he's Clem. So if you ask Siri, if you say, Siri, worker here, she will respond and say, hello, Clem. What function may I perform for you?
Wow, that's great.
I swear. We've asked her many, many times now. Now she's probably going to, make me a liar. But
right, that's
but that
Siri.
That's programmed in there. And also, if you ask her the meaning of life, she will say 42, which came from Hitchhiker's Guide.
That's right.
Oh,
so
my God.
Steve Jobs actually, programmed some of this humor into Siri. So
and I love you. You keep mentioning your husband, and we were laughing about whether he also is a voiceover guy, and you're like that couple in Airplane that, you're arguing about whether there's any parking in the red zone at the airport.
No, but he's a musician. He's a fabulous guitarist, and there's a funny Siri story associated with him. I didn't run right out and get the 4S because I had just bought the 4, but my husband did, and he didn't realize that he had the setting had it on the setting where each time he picked up the phone, Siri would automatically speak and say, how may I help you? How may I help you? Finally, he got frustrated and said, well, you could just go away. And Siri says, what did I do to deserve that?
But by the way,
so
speaking of...
very sensitive, so you
right?
have to stop cursing at her.
I am sorry for all the times. I'm actually a kind of a empathetic liberal, and I feel bad. Like, I've had a friend do that. I'm like, don't do that to her. She'll remember. ironically, speaking of airline humor, you were also you're the voice of Delta Airlines gates worldwide?
Correct.
Can you say
I'm,
now
I'm
arriving at gate 4,
you,
gate 5, gate 6?
Yes, I'm the one that tells you to get out your boarding pass and what zone you're in, and welcome to Delta Airlines, and here's your bag.
Oh, cool. Wow.
You should not be assigned a screaming baby.
Wow. are you really sorry when you can't take a request right now, or were you just faking that when you say, I'm really sorry about this, but I cannot take requests now?
I try to put as much human feeling into that as possible. It doesn't always translate.
Well, this is your Twitter is at Seriously Susan.
Yeah, that's right.
I love.
And we have a link to it at Facebook and on Twitter.
All right.
Are you in the new movie about voiceover actors? I know that voice.
No, I love that movie. In a World, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's just great. And
in a perfect world, you would be.
Too, about a guy that falls in love with a machine voice, and called her.
We're so out of time. I'm so sorry, Suze. We'll talk to you again real soon. Thanks so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Boy, more breaking news this morning. Another teacher killed this morning in Danvers, Massachusetts. Another day, another school shooting. I was just reading the details of this last one. This, you know, hero teacher that, can you imagine?
Yeah.
What it's come to in this country. Guy served in Afghanistan, made it back from that, and was, I'm sorry, his name's escaping me. It was shot and killed in
Sparks, Nevada.
Sparks, Nevada, yeah. This is breaking news right now, so no more details on that. And I guess they're in the Sparks, Nevada one, they're saying that they could charge the parents if he got the gun from...
And it looks like he got the gun from them.
Right,
yeah.
From his home. All right, so we will keep you updated on all of that. How delightful was Siri, the voice of Siri?
She was the awesome.
I had so many more questions for her. She's fascinating. She was a backup vocalist for Burt Bacharach and Roy Orbison.
Really? That's right.
I didn't know that.
And she was the guide vocal for Lady Gaga's duet with Elton John, the Hello, Hello.
I don't remember that song.
I don't either. I need to ask Siri what a guide vocal is exactly. Siri,
well,
what's it? It's the one that guides Lady Gaga? Is that what
you
okay.
lay down a track to, yeah.
Right.
So you know what to sing when.
All right.
Really? That goes on?
Right.
They're not in the same room singing together?
Thank
Sometimes.
You, Jim. All right. Jim has a lovely voice, by the way.
Yes.
Speaking of voiceover artists with lovely singing voices. All right. Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks will be here in hour number three for Hump Days with Hal. Yes, it is a big Sexy Liberal week. Oh, dear God. Sexy Liberal Tour Director Roland?
Oh, no.
He's...
Has he exploded yet?
Well, there's a lot of 2014 dates going on sale very soon. It's very...
involved.
Dave writes, Steph, did I sleep in too late and miss the opportunity for West Coast Sexy Liberal 2013? No, you did not! That's coming up this week and then our whole election year. Because, by the way, lots of people like Hal of Maui have gone on our Facebook and have requested the show. Aloha, Steph. I just wanted to let you know how much of us living in the middle of the ocean need to the treasured moments of your show to get us through the day. Only $4 something, ding, too much wine to remember. All right, never mind.
Yeah.
Please consider Maui as a possible Sexy Liberal show. What a Jim Dandy
that
idea.
That is a fantastic idea.
Well, we
idea.
Would fly to Honolulu if that was the option. We really need someone of your caliber, fart jokes included, teabagging is essential. To liven up our rather dull lives. How much dull? You live in Hawaii, for God's sakes. How much more adoration do you need than a venue full of people who would go to the opening of an envelope if it meant a night out? Well, they are kind of a captive audience.
A little bit.
Captive by the ocean. By the way, Jim and I were talking during the break. I don't know if anyone else read that really sad story about the sea captain that said the ocean is...
The Pacific Ocean's dead.
Yeah.
3,000 miles and nothing is alive there.
I'm thinking one of our sexy liberal
Fukushima.
Causes... Yeah, one of our sexy liberal causes got to be a heal the ocean or something. It is such a sad story. He's done this. He did it 10 years ago, and he just did it again. It's a, you know, 28-day trip.
Yeah.
And he said they caught fish, what, like twice or something? First of all, because of overfishing, pollution. They talked about all the garbage out there.
Yeah.
Oil.
Radiation from the...
They saw one whale with, like, a tumor on its head, and it was just the saddest story.
Yeah.
And they're just colliding with garbage constantly.
Right.
Big chunks of stuff.
And he was talking about the overfishing that they just... They fish, like, all day and all night, and all they're looking for is tuna, and they basically suck every living thing out of there, and they all just, you know, kill them and just throw them back. They don't even want them. I mean, it's... Anyway, I don't know how I got off on that. We've been, it's just a sad story. All right. Yesterday we had somebody that said that she was marrying gay people just to irritate people on the right. But Roland in Santa Clarita writes, Steph, regarding your caller, Leah from Illinois yesterday, I think if we got her buckets full of queers, she said she was marrying buckets of queers.
That's right. I remember that.
Right. Take people off. I think if we got her buckets full of queers together with Romney's binders full of women, we might go a long way toward achieving some kind of bipartisan unity. That's funny.
Bucket binders full of lesbians.
It That's funny. All right. Speaking of funny, yes, do it. Do it.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is taking the country by storm.
Go on Facebook, do it.
Packing theaters across the nation. And conservatives are losing their minds.
I'm going to lose my mind today.
John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and radio goddess Stephanie Miller are touring America. And the Republicans are so afraid of the truth that they want to shut them down.
I say, shut it down.
Oh, no, she didn't.
Don't let that happen. Bring the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show to your area. Contact your favorite venue and demand it. Tell your friends, make a Facebook page, tag at Sexy Liberal on Twitter, and be sure to like Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Let it be known that we all want the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show because it's the show conservatives don't want you to see.
Yeehaw! Thank you, thank you. All right. Rocky Mountain Mike, by the way.
Yeah.
Speaking of funny, you got to pick up his new CD, Politically Incoherent.
Yes.
With the vocal stylings of Jim Ward.
You can get that at Amazon.com or on iTunes.
Someone identified me as Jimmy Webb.
No.
That would be wrong.
I wish.
No.
I wish I'd written
the senator.
Songs.
No. Neither one. All right. This is based on Mitch McConnell's letter home, based on the Ken Burns Civil War parody.
Yes.
Where he wrote the letter home to his wife.
That's right.
Okay.
A week before the vote on the Rebuild America Jobs Act, Mitch McConnell, a senator from Kentucky, wrote home to his wife in Louisville.
October 27th, 2011. My dearest Elaine, the indications are very strong that we shall move in a few days. I feel impelled to write a few lines that may fall onto your eye when the jobs bill is no more. I have no misgivings about or lack of confidence in the cause in which I am engaged. I know how destroying any chances of an Obama administration success rests upon my ability to stonewall, and how great a debt I owe to the obstructionist douche nozzles who went before me. And I am willing, perfectly willing to lay down what little credibility and integrity I still have in this life to help maintain my record of unprecedented obstructionism. My darling Elaine, my love for you is timeless. It seems to bind me with mighty cables and transcends the confines of my terrarium. If I'm not successful in being a dickweed and blocking this bill, never forget how much I love you and lettuce. For I shall soon return, maybe sooner than I would like, and we shall meet again.
The jobs bill was killed the next week at the Battle of Bullshit Run.
I'm so glad he got the rights to the music.
He had to recreate that.
Right. Recreate it?
Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. All right. That was hilarious and then very sweet as well.
Yes.
All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll-free from anywhere. Let's go to, where is Smitty in California? You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Smitty.
Sweaty.
Sweaty.
Hey, how's it going?
Smitty. Sorry.
Yeah.
Hey, that was f***y of me to say that. Sorry, Smitty. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going this morning?
Good.
I'm kind of surprised about everyone actually being so just shocked that there was a problem with a website. It happens all the time.
Right.
Especially when you start them up. And then when it goes really, really well, what happens? It gets overloaded. So I don't get what the problem is. Everyone's just so shocked. And then the administration is being very smart. They're actually going to the private sector saying, come on, give us some help so we can get this up and running to help everyone.
Right.
So I don't see what the big deal is. This is the proper way to handle it, and everyone's still, coming with all this out of the right corner crap of, oh God, this is terrible. No, it's not.
Yeah.
Handling it as best you can.
Yeah, I'm watching the TV right now. They're having yet another press conference on how the nightmare, the train wreck of Obamacare, will never survive. People getting affordable, huh? Okay. All right, Annette in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Annette.
Hi, Steph. Hi, Mook.
Hello.
This is for Chris, and I want you to please try to stop being such a Debbie Downer about what a problem it is for young people to not be able to sign up on the Internet.
Okay.
Because we have all the way through March
of
2014 before the penalty kicks in. And it also here in California, it's really important to remember that we have medical marijuana, which a lot of people under 35 sign up for, and you can't do that on the inner tubes. You have to fill out pages and pages of forms to get that.
You're so cute and old.
Worry, okay, Chris?
Yes,
okay.
There you go.
I want everything now. Well, I need everything immediately.
Mm-hmm.
That's what kids...
I can't wait for anything.
Aw, that was cute. Remember it was the day I lent Jim my reading glasses, and you're like, aw, old people helping each other. That's so cute.
I'm looking at something with a really tiny script on there.
What the hell? old people are sweet.
It was adorable.
John in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hey, Stephanie, how are you doing?
Good, go ahead.
I appreciate you taking my call.
I
tune into your show every once in a while so I can objectively listen to what the left has to say. Yeah, to both sides.
Do you take time out from running your small business to listen to both sides?
Absolutely,
We're
still going.
Good.
But I try to listen to...
Surprising, because
really
Obamacare's already been enacted.
Yeah,
you would think your small business would have been shut down by now.
It should have killed your small business by now.
They're at my doorstep. I'm a little worried. But anyways, I'm trying to figure out the ways and why you're defending this law.
Because it's getting millions of people affordable health care that have never been able to have it before?
It actually isn't.
Oh.
There are people going online, but they're not signing up.
Right, because there's glitches.
They're going online and they can't.
Right. Yeah.
Way more people are signing up for it than are getting glitches.
Right.
You do.
All right. I could tell that was going to be weak. Okay,
wow.
17 minutes.
That was
I'm just going to put
pathetic.
Him out of his misery. Okay, 17 minutes after the hour.
But there are glitches.
Okay.
It's a failure.
All right. You remind me of the congressman that actually went on television and said, in the single digits. It's in the single digits people that have actually signed
up
for.
That's the guy my brother-in-law is trying to throw out of office.
Obamacare.
California's 25th district.
It even made Wolf Blitzer get, unblocked for a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. What now? That's a bigger load of than when I stop eating hard cheese and drywall.
18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it. It's a fabulous program.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Chris in Yankton writes, regarding I Gave You Bubble Butt, don't they have creams for that?
Uh-huh.
Also, that's an awful song. I think those 15 seconds just destroyed the part of my brain that processes music.
That song that sounds like crystal meth that you like, whatever
right?
that is.
Can I get a what?
Rage Faithfully is what that's called.
Right. Can I get a what? Can I get a whoop whoop? Okay.
That's
take some skill to write those lyrics.
That's not a song.
Andrea in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Steph. I just wanted to first off say I'm very excited about Sexy Liberal new tour, and I'm really hoping you'll come back to Florida.
Really? Well, what a Jim Dandy idea. There's been quite a huge demand from Florida on Sexy Liberal Facebook.
I missed the last time because I happened to be on a family vacation when you were here a couple years ago.
And by the way, I'm doing the Mr. Dr. Evil Pinky as you say that. Really, Florida?
Really?
What an interesting idea. Okay, go ahead.
I wanted to say one thing I have not heard come out in any of the media outlets so far, and I'm doing my part to help out the press.
is that the president, if you will, is the fact that if you cannot get logged in on the ACA website, aka Obamacare, you can, however, start looking at some pricing. There are some on the front page. There are some links down below where you can start based on what state and county you live in. It will show you all the plans available to you. I was able to see 33 different plans living in Palm Beach County. And what you can actually do is at least start looking at those plans. It'll tell you what the prices would be if you were 27 years old, 50 years old, and for a family rate. So there's at least some basic information so you can start looking at them, even if you can't get logged in yet, to look at that. The other thing I wanted to mention is Jeanne Shaheen had come out recently. I know you've talked to her a number of times, and she had mentioned that she was putting out, promoting the idea of perhaps extending the open enrollment period, which I think would be a fantastic idea, even, you know, at least for the time being. If they did that, I would have less of an issue with them extending the deadline for the mandate.
I was just going to say, but that's, I think, a better idea rather than delaying the mandate is delay the, you know, just extend the enrollment process. I think it's early, too.
I think the mandate deadline is set to coincide with the end of the open enrollment period,
okay.
I believe. So if they push back one, obviously they should push back both so that people have more time. Because as you said before, this is not just like picking up a pack of gum at the cash register. I had 33 options, and if you have never had to purchase health insurance, or you know, even through your employer, I've only ever had like two or three options.
Wait,
I want to be able to take the time.
Options? Competition?
Them.
That's tyranny. That's communism. That's what? Freedom has died. All right. What? This is crazy. By the way, the president said the other day, there is no sugarcoating it. The website is too slow. People have been getting stuck during the application process. But at the same time, he admonished Republican critics, as I said yesterday. Oh, they were just on TV again. Oh,
yeah, they were.
Look at that. Saying it's time to stop rooting for its failure. By the way, this is the part that you can tell is just making him crazy. Support for the law is growing.
Yeah.
Can you imagine with the nonstop, like, just criticism and even the media coverage, despite all of that, support is growing for the Affordable Care as more people, this is exactly what they're afraid of, as more people are seeing what it actually is, which is a big deal with all the misinformation out there. 46% of Americans saying they support it now compared with 42% who said so last month. So that to me is fairly incredible. All right. Ted Cruz is still popular in some crazy pockets of Texas, however.
Having spent the past month up in D.C., it is really great to be back in America.
The only Texas is the real America.
That's right.
Okay, here
we go. We all knew that if we took on the Washington establishment, the establishment would fight back.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to take time to change Washington to turn this country around.
What a dope.
Morons.
I'm just going to guess that that woman...
By turning around, he means capsizing.
Has injured herself eating pudding with a rubber spoon.
Yeah.
I don't really like green eggs and ham. Ooh. I love you, Dad!
I'd like to have a conversation at the local bar with her. She probably talks like that all the time. She probably wasn't just yelling. That's probably how she talks. Okay.
She and Ted have a similar voice.
Right. They're similarly irritating. Okay. Wow, there might be two Texases, by the way. Texan judge quits the GOP.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't know who he was talking about, but he said the smallest minds make the loudest noise in the Republican Party. That gal. I want to find out who she is. Can we book her, please? Find out who she is.
Oh.
Travis, get on that. I bet she talks all the time. I hate America! Okay, I can hear you. You don't need to talk like that. A Republican judge running for re-election in Texas announced this week he is leaving the Republican Party because of the government shutdown and a variety of social issues. Carlo Key declared his switch to the Democratic Party. Hooray. And
you're alive.
Oh, not that.
Oh.
Here we go.
Oh.
Because of his belief that his former party, quote, demeans Texans based on their sexual orientation, the color of their skin, or their economic status.
Mm-hmm.
He was spotted as a fundraiser for Wendy Davis. So that's what you do. He said, for too long, the Republican Party has been at war with itself. Rational Republican beliefs have given way to ideological character assassination. Pragmatism and principle have been overtaken by pettiness and bigotry.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot place my name on the ballot of the political party that is proud to destroy the lives of hundreds of thousands of federal workers over the vain attempt to repeal a law that would provide health care for millions of people throughout the country. As the smallest minds continue to make the loudest noise in the Republican Party, true leaders will be driven by their principles and values to become Texas Democrats. Hoorah! Wowee! 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
3 minutes of sex and a lifetime of regret.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Sexy liberal Hal Sparks for Hump Days with Hal. Coming up next hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Grampy's going to run again.
Yeah.
Senator I'm seriously John thinking about maybe giving another opportunity for you to vote for or against me in a few years from now. I'm seriously giving that a lot of thought.
Wow. Running for Senate, not for president again.
No.
Yeah.
He will be 147 years old, and that is very, very sweet.
I expect you'll want to see my angry, crotchety grandpa discount card.
Sir, this card has expired.
But it's good for a lifetime.
Well, yours expired.
He'll be 80 when he
of course,
runs
that's what
again.
I meant. I did the math wrong. I apologize.
So if he wins, he will be 86.
How much you want to bet it's because he needs to save his party from the
I'd rather have him in
there
than,
birds. Yeah, exactly.
Than someone like Ted Cruz. Or,
yeah, by the way,
Jan Brewer.
The partial government shutdown trimmed 0.25 percentage point from the fourth quarter economic growth and cost the U.S. 120,000 jobs in October. How about that? How about them apples there?
Yep.
Thank you, Crazy Caucus.
120,000 jobs. Nicely done.
Mark in New Mexico. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Good morning, Steph.
Good morning.
Guys. How are you doing?
Guys and girls are fine.
Well, I just wanted to make a point for all of your Republican fans out there who are listening, because I come from a business background, and I just had to make a note that for all those people that are screaming that government can't do anything right, the website was developed by private industry.
Yeah, there right. you go. There you go.
Okay.
And they seem to do Medicare and Social Security just fine, don't they? Let's go to Mike in Illinois. Hello, Mike.
I'm sorry, is this Stephanie?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Stephanie. I am one of the conservative right-wingers and just wanted to get your opinion, I guess, or your thoughts on one of the questions I had for quite a while with the Obamacare, and that is, as I understand that the less privileged or the lower-income, poorer class in the United States or the nation are going to get subsidized to be able to get this Obamacare. But when the deductibles, they start having to pay the deductibles and they figure out that they can't pay the deductible or they won't pay the deductibles because it's so high, what actually is going to happen then when they default by the hundreds of thousands or millions of people that have actually got this Obamacare?
That's quite an assumption you're making.
Yeah.
Well,
wow.
I mean, it's
well, they're going to eat your children, clearly.
Yeah. Why are you making the assumption that every low income person is going to default?
Well, I mean, if they can't afford health care now,
they can afford it with a subsidy. Sure.
Okay,
right,
they can't
that's
afford
the point.
A subsidy, but when they get sick and they actually need a medical procedure of some sort,
right.
and they can't afford to pay the deductible, right. who's going to be left carrying that note then at that
it
point?
It might not be a deductible. It might be a copay.
You and your children, who the poor people will eat.
Right. It might not be a deductible. It might be a copay, depending on what kind of program they're on.
Yeah, but what if... Sorry.
Idiot. Sorry.
See, it's those damn poor people. That's where
We're
all the money's going.
We're not name callers here, you moron. Stop it. Steve in Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steve.
Hi. I wanted to talk about that some of us have a November 1st deadline for health care, and not being able to get on the exchange and see the prices is really troubling. So
what do you mean some people have a November 1st?
I've never heard that.
Well, if you have... I'm a small business owner. We have fewer than 50 people, so we get our own insurance. Mm-hmm. I have private insurance.
The employer mandate has been delayed for a year. What do you mean? Who has a November 1st?
No, I have to get my own insurance, just like all my other coworkers do. So we.
So that has nothing to do with Obamacare.
All right, thank you for calling the misinformation hotline. Okay. Hi.
That you'd have to do that anyway, even if Obamacare didn't exist.
Have you? You've not sprayed Trolbegon, have you, in quite some time? Okay. Oh my God! You just called the second caller in a row an idiot.
Well.
You are such.
I mean, if you're an idiot, I'm going to call you an idiot.
Well, you're a name-calling douche nozzle. All right. Here. What? Oh, yes, you're going to spray now? Thank
Tired
you.
Of cranky callers and childish chatters who only want a harsher talk show buzz? Right. You've spent a lot of time and effort producing the best show possible, only to have them poop in your punch bowl. Well, not anymore. Introducing Trollbegon, the strongest solution for ridding your calls and chat rooms of troublemaking trolls. Just one spray, and troll be gone.
I've been a chat room moderator for years. I used to fight with trolls all the time. Now I just spray them away from Ustream, live blogs, Twitter feeds, and Facebook profiles. Apply liberally, and it lasts for weeks.
Check out Troll Be Gone in action.
I'm a small business owner.
Look at the monkey.
I try to listen to both sides.
Order Troll Be Gone today, now available in our 5-gallon concentrate.
You know what?
All right. Thank you. I'm a small business owner who's... Oh, my deadline's now. I have to go. Okay.
I'm a small business owner who's concerned about my employees who are being murdered by Obamacare.
Right.
I've...
Okay. All right. Well said. Well said.
Everybody's...
That's the best thing you... That's the best point you've ever made on this show.
What did I do to you today?
What is up my ass today?
Good Lord.
I do not know.
No, I mean, if you're with an employer, I mean, when I worked for Clear Channel, I always had to pick a new program by November 1st.
Right.
That's not a requirement of Obamacare. You're trying to pass that off, trying to pull one over on us.
Right. Right. Okay, would you like to hear a story? Kids, Mama's got a story for you.
Okay.
Inside the meeting where Obama and Reed vowed not to be taken in by these crazy people. Did you read this on HuffPost? Mm-hmm. This is actually, this is a great political story about how this happened, and God bless the president and Harry Reid for standing strong and Democrats standing together on this. Barack Obama and Harry Reid, this is actually a love story.
Oh, okay.
They had some, you know, some trouble. Barack Obama and Harry Reid needed to clear the air. At the White House's invitation, the two met in the Oval Office on July 9th, no staff, mano a mano, to talk one-on-one. It was a cathartic moment, probably a lot of pillow punching. You know,
Barack, why did you do this to me?
Just cue you guys for that. Okay. One in which long buried tensions were fully aired.
I've got some tensions that need to be aired.
Aged to the two men tell a similar story. Their boss had been losing confidence in his counterpart and wanted the meeting as a way to buck up the other. Buck.
Yeah, as in Uncle Buck.
Different from the Republican caucus who just wanted to up the president. The president was worried that the Senate Democratic caucus would end up fractured. You know when you fracture your caucus.
Ouch.
It's
that's
right.
Painful.
Ow. If the party pushed too hard, leading the administration to cut deals directly with McConnell. Harry said, if you're ever wondering if I can hold my caucus, just ask me. The president was only concerned about Harry Reid's fractured caucus, and he assured him that he could hold his own caucus, unlike John Boehner, whose caucus is completely uncontrollable. He could probably not even write his name in the snow. Did I mean that? Harry Reid said, President Obama is such a nice man, just a nice person, and he became president during an awful time. It's easy to look back and say, oh, he shouldn't have done that, or he shouldn't have renewed the payroll tax. That's all then, this is now. A different environment. I don't want to sound like a cheerleader for Obama. He can get others to do that, but he's a good person.
Oh my God.
Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. It helped lay the groundwork for what would be a critical and fruitful political partnership during the high-stakes budget fight. Each more mindful of the other's strategic vision, Reid and Obama made a mutual commitment to legislative stubbornness. A week after the meeting, Reid threatened to gut the filibuster if Republicans didn't let through a slate of executive nominees. Republicans caved. Looking forward, the two vowed steadfastly to oppose any effort to tinker with the president's health care law as part of the CR to keep the government running. And when it came time to raise the debt ceiling a few weeks later, they would refuse to negotiate altogether. They followed this playbook until it ultimately resulted in a Republican collapse. like a big souffle. We both... that's a large souffle.
Yeah, well, you know.
That's a like somebody's fractured caucus. Just
wow.
Apparently that souffle had some hubcaps in it.
Wrenches.
Yeah. Hammers.
We've got to get a new Foley guy in here. We just came to the conclusion that the time had ended to be taken in by these crazy people, Reed said. The president said, I'm not going to negotiate, and I said, I'm not going to negotiate, and we didn't. Hooray. Let's see. Behind the scenes, administration officials were pulling any lever they could. They called business leaders, Republican lobbyists, and GOP wise men to solicit ideas on how to move Boner. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Obama told the Senate Democrats that one CEO who went unnamed was refusing to return Boner's calls, angry at his alliance with the Tea Party. Aw, I bet you that was a lot. That was more drunk dialing than Jenny Thomas does
yeah.
the entire week, I bet.
I'm sure.
I don't know, anyone, this is bigger in the house. You want to take my call? I'd give anything to listen to those voice messages. Behind the scenes, the White House and Reid grew anxious that lawmakers would jump at the opportunity to play Doomsday Savior. Administration officials thought, Collins, Esmeralda, remember she came up with that magical plan at the last... Right. They thought it was actually a worse offer than the one the budget monster had floated days earlier because it locked in sequester-level spending for half a year. They began calling moderate Democrats, urging them to get back in the box. Back in
books. Back in books.
Get back in
books. Back in books.
Back in books.
Back in books.
That's another movie. I don't know which one it is. Back in books. Get back in books. So finally, yeah, the cut forward to the end of the story. 10 minutes later, McConnell called back asking only for income verification, which is already in the Affordable Care
right.
Act. Okay, Yertle, we'll get right on that. Oh, that's a good idea. I wish we put that in there in the first place.
The president didn't think about it. I just got the idea just now.
The deal was done. The pact of obstinacy that Reid and Obama struck had paid off, and they got nothing. Good day, sir. And that's the end of the story.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Thank you. Delightful story behind the scenes on the HuffPost. I love the part about Reid said, I'm not a cheerleader for Obama. And then he said...
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Ungawa.
That was Nancy Pelosi and Barbara Mikulski. Okay. 45.
Barbara Mikulski wore a cheerleading outfit?
Really?
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, with motorized nipple tassels. All right, 45
wow, she
minutes.
She is never, ever coming on this show
she
again.
She wasn't going to anyway. 45 minutes, which is why I felt safe to make that joke. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Not bad. Like Frisbee golf, I'm glad I tried it once.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by No Hair Removal Devices. All right. Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks on his way in. Oh, we have this is a Fox News story?
Yes,
what
I remember.
What the Fox?
Remember Fox comedian Steven Crowder?
Oh, he's hilarious.
He was recently forced to apologize to Sean Hannity. He ripped into Sean Hannity for getting bulldozed by liberal guests like Anthony Weiner and Michael Moore. Well, Crowder was recently let go of his contract as a Fox
really?
News contributor, and Fox News released a statement saying, Fox hired Crowder 4 years ago and gave him a lot of visibility, but the problem was he was never that funny.
Oh, really? Now
just
a warning?
Them?
Now
a warning?
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you're Christians, you go to the thing and stuff happens.
We sussed that out. Thanks.
What? Yeah.
Thanks,
we sussed that out years ago. We could have saved you 4 years worth of salary.
Why there is no right-wing sexy comedy tour.
That's right.
Okay. Oh, by the way, in other Fox News, did you see the Gawker story on Shepard Smith? Oh, dear.
Uh-oh.
Oh, dear. One night last March, at a Chelsea speakeasy called Bathtub Gin.
Okay.
Smith and a group of friends were downing cocktails when the anchor, his drink half empty, noticed the waitress attending another table. He got up from his table, grabbed my elbow, the waitress says, and started yelling and berating her. Where the is my drink? Where's my drink? Get my drink.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
Smith, oh, here's a fun fact. He prefers a special off-menu concoction of gin, muddled cucumber, and shaved ice. Apparently,
muddled cucumber?
If he doesn't get it on time, he becomes quite incensed. Right.
That actually sounds kind of good. Cucumber in a cocktail is really refreshing. Mm-hmm. Cucumber and mint.
Okay. That's not the point of the story.
Okay, but anyway, go ahead.
Wait, did someone from Fox News is nasty? I've never... Smith, according to Gawker, had arrived earlier in the night with a straight couple and his own regular date, a muscular 6'2", 30-something white male whom bathtub gin employees refer to as his boyfriend.
He was my boyfriend!
What?
I've heard the whispers.
Nobody we spoke to, Gawker says, including Fox Insiders, know the name of Smith's date.
Bruno.
Sure
Lars.
Thing.
Lars.
Because I guess that's the kind of thing that shall not speak its name at the Fox
yes.
News. That sort of love. Okay. All right. By the by.
Odin.
Jim is just speculating. We have no information. Okay.
That Shepard Smith's boyfriend is named Odin. Thor.
I don't know.
Oh, dear. All right. We were saying there has been yet another teacher shot this morning. In
Danvers, Massachusetts.
Yeah, Massachusetts. In Nevada, in Sparks, Nevada, the parents of the seventh grade student who killed the teacher mm-hmm. and wounded two students could face charges if the police determine he got the gun from home. And I guess the reports this morning are that he did.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard the 911 call from inside Sparks Middle School yesterday.
Somebody brought a gun to school. They shot the teacher.
What's the teacher's down?
Yes.
Okay. I'll get somebody out there right away. You're at Sparks Middle School?
Yes. They shot again.
Shot again?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Can you please send police out here? Here's a kid with a gun.
Okay, where are they with the gun?
Huh?
Where are they with the gun?
Sparks Middle School.
I know, but where at the school? That's what I'm saying.
By the basketball court.
By the basketball court?
Yes, so please send someone out.
Hi. I mean, it's becoming an everyday occurrence almost, or every week.
Yeah, and it didn't get much coverage because it's commonplace now,
yeah.
Which is horrifying.
Yeah, that's exactly what people think. Oh, just one person killed so far. It's just, and that becomes, I mean, this is the other reason I just think 2014 is so important, you know, to be able, the fact that we could not get any kind of measure of gun control done after Newtown is unbelievable. And the other aspect of this is what is going on with bullying? I mean, is it worse than when we were growing up? Is it because
oh, yeah.
of the internet?
It's definitely
is
worse. It, oh, what did you hear I don't
the,
know about that.
Did you hear the story about the girl that killed herself? That she was, yeah. you know, bullied and stalked for a year? Mm-hmm. This anyway, I don't know all the details here, but they're saying in this story the shooter may have been bullied. A student that had math class with him said that he was made fun of at the school. I saw kids pushing him around and doing a lot of mean things to him. I guess one day he got tripped, and my friend said, trip them back, but I guess he decided to just shoot them.
Hmm. Yeah.
I mean, and these girls on Facebook posted, she killed herself, and I don't care. I'm glad, or I don't care. I mean, there's something going on in addition to guns that I don't.
No, kids are just violent now, and you know,
well,
a lot
kids
of
have always been a-holes.
Well, yeah, but now
take
you
it from someone who was bullied a lot.
Yeah, but now you have kids taking martial arts classes, and they're creating like really efficient bullies now.
You had kids taking martial arts classes in the 70s when I was in elementary school,
but I think it's reached kind of epidemic proportions now.
By the way, the president and Michelle have to go to parent-teacher conferences just like the rest of us.
Aww. Only in a motorcade and not in a minivan.
I'd be a little intimidated if I were that teacher. Your kid's doing great, great, great.
Yes, A's.
Could the guy
all
with
around.
The earpiece wait outside? She's Sasha Malir. They're great. Okay.
Do you know that Sasha is actually a basketball player?
Really?
The little one, yeah.
Huh. Did not know.
You would think Malia would be.
58 minutes after the hour, Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks, next on The Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, oh, 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 oh.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks on his way in. Big, huge Sexy Liberal announcements coming up this week. We're trying a lot of moving parts. It's going to be our last 2013 show announced and then 2014 stuff. And
whatever.
Hi, Plarg. Sexy Liberal on Facebook, sexyliberal.com, the website. StephanieMiller.com, the old fashioned horse drawn kind. The Julie in Seattle writes with some booze and dope news.
Oh.
Hey there, you pack of stoner mocking Stephanie Miller Show booze hounds. Guess what? A new Gallup poll shows the number of Americans who support legalizing marijuana has jumped 10 points in the last year. Oh!
I support it. I just don't
now,
smoke it.
Yeah, I don't either. Now, for the first time, a clear majority of Americans, 58, but that's nearly 60, Jim, say the drug Let's should see. Be legalized. That is in sharp contrast to the first time Gallup ever asked the question in 1969, when only 12% favored the legalization of Mary Jane cigarettes.
Would you like a marijuana cigarette?
The scourge of marijuana cigarettes has hit home in the United States.
Back when I was hiding my brother's roach clips after his parties before my parents got home.
Wow. Did you just out your brother as a marijuana smoker?
Back then. Okay.
You didn't learn anything from it.
By the way, here's the only reason I would say not to smoke pot, because that's what your mugshot looks like. Heidi Fleiss.
Oh.
Holy cow.
Yeah, she was
Don
high
DeLos,
on the, she was high on the marijuana.
Yes. On the marijuana cigarettes. Heidi Fleiss saw busted for driving while high on weed. Took one of the worst mugshots we've ever seen, according to, was this Gawker? Well, nothing ever comes of this.
This is TMZ, actually.
Tooling around Pahrump, Nevada at 3:30 a.m. Nothing good ever comes of that. Well, baked on the green stuff, according to DMZ. Baked. It's baked. Robbing around, looking for some food. All right. By the way, we are not high, but how cute is a pug in a Miley Cyrus outfit?
It's a wrecking ball.
He's a pug dressed like a wrecking ball. There's a little Miley Cyrus on top of him.
You can see that at Stephanie Miller's Facebook page.
Oh, it's so cute. All right. Oh, speaking of car accidents, Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
Resting at home after the airbags did activate.
Yeah.
Fine.
Right. Okay. Well, good.
She tweeted, I was in a fender bender and this morning in Nashville, but I'm all good. She's home and resting. And she's fine. It was just an opportunity to make a airbag joke.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a love story, and it's also Kardashian-related, Jim. Kanye and Kim Kardashian engaged. This is just a tiny bit over the top.
Yep, a little bit.
Kanye West pulled a birthday surprise by renting out an entire baseball stadium. And asking Kim to marry him on Monday evening. As you do, Jim, he flew to, he flew her to San Francisco, blindfolded her.
Oh.
And whisked her off to AT&T Park. What's more romantic than that? Home of the Giants.
Right.
He had a full orchestra playing Young and Beautiful, one of her favorite songs. Got down on one knee in the middle of the field, popped the question with a 15-carat diamond ring. As you do.
A 15?
As you do.
Well, I saw one news story describe the diamond as bubble yum sized. You know those chunks of bubble yum?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
There were quotation marks around
that. That's a Kobe Bryant, I'm sorry, this sized ring. Yikes. Yeah. Yikes. Why? I hear a door slam. What could that be? Could it possibly be?
Steffi.
Oh, what's that? Heavy breathing I hear. Why? Could it be? Uh-huh. Yeah. 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 Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Yes. Yes.
Hi.
Hi. How are you? Oh, boy.
How are you?
Who else has been hanging with Martha Stewart in the last 48 hours?
Martha Stewart?
Martha Stewart?
Well, what is it? 72 hours. Yeah, I hosted an event with
you
her.
You did?
On Sunday. Well, I judged a Halloween contest with her.
For the Hub.
For the Hub Network, right. But
yeah.
How awesome.
Yeah, to sit next to Martha Stewart.
How was she?
Well, I mean, I certainly had to rethink my my costume. I was going to do, you know, a classic Breaking Bad cover, and that wouldn't have panned out.
No.
For those of you, the
were there centerpieces on the tables that were tastefully appointed?
Yes, there were.
Okay.
Although,
no, you're thinking of Patrick Stewart.
And yes, in all deference to her skills as a craftsperson, mm-hmm. and her right. magic with doilies.
She's crafty.
She was dressed as a fairy godmother. This was her costume choice. And I heard great things about she was going to be dressed as a fairy godmother. When she came out, she looked like one of those big peach-colored sponges you get with a thing of body wash.
Oh,
there were no
right.
wings involved. It was just right. a giant poof. And I was like, are you an exfoliating sponge? I don't understand what's going on.
Did she take to that warmly?
Absolutely, she took.
Yeah, she has a sense of humor.
She does. She's
really?
Actually, yeah.
And
yeah.
well, and
you know what? She
Hal Sparks is, you know, good with the gals. And any well, what gal does not want to hear your magic with doilies?
It's true. Well,
that's just
it,
like yeah. woo. Spread them.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh. You can wink at that, and you know what I'm saying.
China
she
more.
Actually, I think she hated me at the very beginning of it because we had our little pre-show meeting. And I was being my normal jokey self.
Sure.
Because to paraphrase and use the language I can use on the radio, one of my mottos is care enough not to give a crap.
Right.
And you have to.
Right.
If you don't enjoy yourself in those situations and get overridden by the fact that, oh, this is a serious situation, when it's totally not, we're judging a Halloween contest. Simmer down. Like, you should be having a great time at the expense of everything around you.
Right.
So that other people relax as well. So I do that immediately in those situations to remove the stick from everyone's rectum that they seem to right. put in when they think they're really making television. And she was not having it. She was not having it for a good...
You don't drink, but she needed a lot of drinks to kill the bugs.
Is that the theory?
Yes.
So I have no evidence of this. If she was drunk indeed, she came that way, and they just maintained her through the process because all she was drinking was hot water and lemons.
Okay.
And so far as I know, she was getting a bit ill, apparently.
So, Apple Boy,
yes.
Hal Sparks, as you know, there is the glitches in the website, and we have to shut down America.
Yeah. Here's my theory on that. I think it's a giant PSYOP campaign by the Obama administration to make the Republicans actually go out and say, millions of people are trying to get this service, and it's not the website doesn't
yes.
work.
We can't have this horrible thing. We need to shut down the government. Oh, now people can't get the horrible thing.
Exactly. This is how bad it is. People can't get the thing they want. Oh, they what? They want it? What? I mean, honestly, that's...
Can you imagine? They were ready to go, see, there's nobody going and nobody wants
nobody
it.
Going,
nobody's going on the website.
It's crashed.
Too many people.
Right. It's crashed because of overuse.
There's too many people not going to the website.
The idea that, mm-hmm. A, that there aren't denial-of-service campaigns going against it constantly by weird right-wing groups and the Koch brothers and all that would be shocking to me if we did not find that out in due haste
yeah.
over the next couple of years.
As the president said, as you know, there's been glitches here and there in Apple products and things like that.
Facebook had major glitches earlier
yes.
this week.
I would argue that
Freedom
Facebook
died.
Is largely a glitch in the scope of the internet.
Yes.
I would say that if you
but
could
it was
view
like the
it
old fashioned all the reporters running to the phone booths in the movies and the phone
they
booths
all
fell
fall
down.
Over.
Yeah. They, all,
like
they picked the phone
airplane.
Booths back
that
up.
That is your second airplane reference today.
I am old.
Well, we talked to the voice of Siri earlier today.
Oh.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, and we speculated that she and her husband are fighting like the two loudspeaker
there is
people.
No parking in
right.
the red zone. You're just saying that.
Because you want me to have an abortion.
Right.
Mike in Wisconsin, you're on with Hal. Hello, Mike.
Hi, guys. You know, it's no coincidence that you got all these Republicans on TV attacking the Affordable Care Act, saying it's not going to work. It's not a coincidence that in the Republican-controlled state houses, like we have here with Walker, I went to the hearing for this to be financed, and they turned it away. They turned the $400 million away and tried to sell us a rotten egg that they'll extract $200 million from the Wisconsin taxpayers over
yeah.
the next 10 years. We're going to lose our butts on this. And every state that's gone along with the plan is doing just fine.
Well,
right.
Like Hal Sparks' home state of Kentucky. How
exactly.
about that?
Exactly. I know. And my mom, you know, works for home health services. Right. She's been, you know, part of the government health care of the state for a long time. As
you come from a long line of socialists.
Right. Well, she was, you know, she's a registered nurse and worked for a doctor for years. But after that, she worked for the government, making sure that, you know, they're not putting out cigarettes on old people in old folks' homes and, you know, going to those home care services and making sure that they're not leaving you in the yard, you know, covered in your own diaper, you know, fixins.
Yeah. Diaper fixins?
Yikes.
I'm using Kentucky vernacular. You
wow.
asked for it.
to park her in the yard. Wow. Just stop screaming when she passes out. Like, that's my mom made sure that stuff doesn't happen. That was her job as a government employee and a registered nurse. And she's actually got friends, and she herself does some of this Kentucky Connect stuff. She'll go to these events for it. And here's the other thing. You know, you hear that big story about that guy who didn't know that Kentucky Connect is part of Obamacare, and he's like, it'll beat the heck out of Obamacare. We're going to take I'm going to show them what's what. Kentucky. And everybody's like, do you think we should tell him? No, because he won't do it. But there are actually a lot of people in Kentucky who are perfectly fine with it, who don't have this hostility.
Well, because there's a Democratic governor that said, I don't care if you hate me or hate the president, but see what you can do for you and your family.
Right, exactly. That's, again, proving my point that the Republicans can't even do selfish right. I mean,
by the way, does your mom also like roll patients over so they don't get bed sores? And does she sound anything like Ruth Gordon?
She does. Roll over and get your salve on.
I find a different way to make them do it every week.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
We're going to leave a helpless old lady in a bed for.
After the hour. Right back. More Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 21 minutes after the hour. Sexy little Hal's Bar.
Hi there.
Hump Days with Hal.
Hello.
Hello. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Well, here's a sad, sad story about Kent, about the Cooch. The Cooch is not doing very well in Virginia.
Kent Cuccinelli?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you meant the fact that the lieutenant governor was trying to pass all these laws against the Cooch. Like anti-Cooch laws.
Yes. Yeah. Ironically, he's anti-Cooch.
Yeah.
He's taking on yet another losing cause.
He's anti-Charo?
Oh, he was the first attorney general to sue the federal government over Obamacare and lost.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. Bye-bye now. Loser. He's getting ready to lose by about, I don't know, what, 20 points?
All right.
Right.
Take care now.
Bye-bye then.
To Terry McAuliffe. He has, it's been months since he cracked 40% of poll, let alone 50, with 2 weeks left. Odds not in his favor. Poor little Cooch.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. That didn't deter an ardent crowd of about 100, this is kind of sad, 100 Republicans who gathered in a in the back of a Northern Virginia strip mall.
Oh.
Sort of
wow.
Mackie Christensen, she was one of the...
Oh, she?
Please and thank you.
It's a she?
Right.
Okay.
Mackie, please and thank you.
Oh, mm-hmm. God.
She quipped. She's a quipper.
Oh,
Mackie
yes,
is.
Yes.
Mackie is. She's mm-hmm. a Tea Party gal.
Mackie Messer.
She said, you know what? I'm going to guess that she knows the We Love You Ted girl from the latest Ted Cruz rally. Hang on, let's
see. We all knew that if we took on the Washington establishment, the establishment would fight back. And it's going to take time to change Washington to turn this country around.
Oh, God.
How about the brain power on that gal?
Wow.
She and Mackie Christensen would be friends like this.
Mm-hmm.
At
the country club.
Best $65 they ever spent. As a campaign thing, I'm just saying.
Mackie said, quit, that she was so horrified of women, the women's voters' embrace of Terry McAuliffe. He's ahead by a zillion points among women.
Mm-hmm.
That she was ready to circulate a petition to repeal the 19th Amendment. Oh, where women could vote. Because Mackie thinks that...
But she's a chick.
Right. She also says she
because voting is bad for women. Don't you know anything about how, like, about America?
It cuts into their cooking time.
Yeah, exactly. These kids Mackie. Aren't going to beat themselves.
In other Mackie news.
You need an angry woman with no options
that
in the household.
Isn't gonna cook itself.
High on morphine because it's in soda pop. You remember, let's go back to the way America used to be when women died of consumption at an early age and you could get a new one
the way they
for
were
free.
Supposed to.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Mackie also said she was disgusted at the memory of two activists
the
from NARAL who stood outside a gubernatorial debate dressed as birth control pills to protest Cuccinelli's position on contraception. Mm. She is also not. It's going to be a rough Halloween for Mackie. She's not for women wearing costumes. She was disgusted and horrified at the women dressed as birth control pills.
Can I say that? I mean, I know this is a bit obtuse, but it shouldn't be shocking coming from my brain. But can we stop referring to them as birth control pills? Because they don't actually control birth. They control fertilization.
Yeah. Right.
And if we called them fertilization control pills or fertilizer control pills, people would leave the entire issue alone because people would not be walking around with signs going, stop fertilizer control in their own way.
Cuccinelli at this rally, Hal, mentioned that he was for canned food drives and against human trafficking. Well, taking some brave stands toward the end of his disastrous campaign. Wow. Four campers.
He Unless also, the kids are transported in cans, in which case he has a talked himself into a circle.
Right. Cuccinelli reiterated his belief that his campaign could win through the ground game and noted that he had come from behind in past races, which is funny for someone that's against sodomy.
Really? Technically speaking, sodomy is any sexual act that does not lead to procreation.
Even of the oral kind.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he's
Which is why when he tried to pass that sodomy law or get it re-upped, he was basically outlawing every form of sex except what would be called heterosexual intercourse.
I believe he was under the impression that sodomy was only
a gay thing.
Yeah. The one kind of sex. Right.
Yeah, which, you know.
He's only for things that involve the cooch.
Well, yeah, it's very self-involved that way, I suppose.
Yes. Right.
And barely that, I'm going to guess. I'm going to go out on a limb. Yeah.
Okay, Jim and
it's all icky to him. I think it's called a sclerophobe, or, you know, which is a person who fears sex or genitals. Yeah.
Right. Jim in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I look it up.
Hello, Stephanie. How are you? So, thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
So long since I talked to you. A couple things. First of all, are you still talking about new names for the Republican Party?
Still talking about what?
New names for the Republican Party?
Okay, sure.
Okay, go ahead.
My brother-in-law belongs to a group of reenactors from the Middle Ages, and the name's perfect for the Republican Party. There's this Society for Creative Anachronism.
Anachronism. Yes, I know someone who...
Wow. Yeah. Say that one more time.
Society for Creative
Anachronism.
Right, I got that. Yeah. But he said, wow. So it's not just like Civil
That's
War.
That's like one step below LARPer.
My ex-wife.
Yeah, right. Or cosplay as a political action. Uncle.
Isn't that like that restaurant, Medieval Times?
I'm going to dress up like Sailor Moon to get my political point across.
They do jousting and... Wow. Like, they dress in chain mail and it's really...
Some people are a little random.
It's everything that I...
We're Peloponnesian War reenactors. Is that weird? Is it me?
That sort of thing is everything I stand against. It's awful.
Melody in Ohio, you're on with Hal. Hello, Melody.
Hey, guys. I love all you and Hal, too. Yeah. I just wanted to say, yay, Ohio.
Yay. We're
expanding Medicaid.
I know. What has gotten into John Kasich?
Yay!
I don't know.
I'll tell you what it is. It's simple numbers. The thing is, they can scream all they want to against this president, but every time the numbers line up, and they look at the long term, because they have to balance their budget, they're governors, they're looking at the money, and it makes more sense. It helps more of their citizenry. It will make them more popular.
That's what Bashir just said in
Kentucky.
They
just pretend it's not Obamacare in the process. That's all they do.
Right. Right. Well, in Kasich's case, right.
Right.
Exactly. Oh, speaking of Kentucky, somebody sent me an actual letter from the office of Rand Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Let me see here.
Does he believe in offices?
Dear concerned America, going up against the full force of the government of government power isn't easy, but that's exactly what Lavabit founder Ladar Levinson said.
Lavabit founder Ladar Levinson.
That's a Tom Brokaw story, if I know.
Lavabit Ladar Levinson from Illinois.
Right, Lavabit founder Ladar Levinson. Decided to do when he shut down his secure mail company rather than hand over customers' personal information to Barack Obama's snoops.
What?
Snoops?
And even though he's lost his main source of income, Ladar Levinson is fighting back. I believe his legal battle is a key part in our shared fight.
Ladar Levinson's legal battle.
Ladar Levinson's legal battle.
Well, you have a lot to be desired.
Bow Creek, Michigan.
Right. You know when he signs his letter? In Liberty.
Whatever.
All right, I have to show you. We'll read Levar's
letter.
Does he
believe
in
Liberty
back.
For lesbians?
Well, let's hope so.
I'm so sick of the Liberty
Patriot. I don't
want to
be liberated from lesbianism.
Vulture perching on the corpse of 9/11 after all that stuff. I'm for Liberty and Patriot. Because of blah, blah, blah.
All right,
just
right
using
back.
It to sell something.
This is Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Talking to Arianna Huffington and Will Schwartz, editor of the New York Times Crossword. Look, let's give this party a chance.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to It Hump Days with Hal Sparks. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Ooh, a hate letter for me.
Oh,
no. Subject line, you chattering idiot, you talk too damn much.
Oh, but well, it's a talk show.
Yeah, yeah.
You are nothing but a noisy, hysterical piece of... You are insane. Why, thank you. Shim. Someone named Shim.
Shim? Well,
the guy named Shim.
He's been angry for a very long time with a name like Shim because people have been trying to shove him under uneven tables.
Right.
Forever.
Hey, Shim, why don't you get down there? His table's wobbling. Right, put your hand under there, man.
Come on, Shim.
We're trying to eat.
Do your job,
come on, Shim.
Shim.
Get in there. Level this house. Come on, Shim. Lay down this good. Floor's uneven. Where's Shim?
Like, where get it? Get Shim out
taking
here.
A break there, Shim. See, come on, man.
Now I bet he's enjoying the show even more.
Yeah,
yeah.
See?
Aren't you?
Sorry we're talking so much. But we're all mic'd and it's kind of necessary.
There's too much talking in radio.
Yeah, sorry for talking on my talk show.
Yeah, you know you can solve the whole amount of talking that you're doing in his ear simply with a small dial turn. It's incredible.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I highly recommend the stations between the stations.
Just grab your knob.
It might be better for him.
Yeah, there are less words there.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Grab your knob, Shim.
Give it a twist.
Oh, awesome. That's great.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, all our ships at sea.
Jim, we were reading LavaBit founder Ladar Levinson's letter.
Ladar Levinson's letter to LavaBit.
See, I'm not on Rand Paul's mailing list because I'm not a concerned American. I'm an American that doesn't give a...
Why from Lillehammer?
Yes, dear concerned American, he writes, going up against the full force of the government power isn't easy. That's exactly what LavaBit founder Ladar Levinson decided to do when he shut down his secure email company rather than hand over customers' personal information to Barack Obama's snoops. And even though he's lost his main source of income, dummy, Ladar Levinson is fighting back. I believe his legal battle is a key part in our shared fight to restore our Fourth Amendment freedoms. Please read Ladar's email below and take action immediately in liberty. Rand Paul. And then you go. Then he attaches Ladar's letter.
Ladar's letter.
Doperson. Since shutting down LavaBit, I've lost my main source of income. Without the financial support of good folks like you... Oh, there you have it!
What?
Pay my bills for not actually working. Wait a minute, what?
I have no idea how I'll be able to see this cycle fight through, but I'm not walking away. I can't. It's just too important for you to send me money. Mm-hmm. Aren't they the people that always... Because everybody's mooching?
Yeah.
I quit my job. Please send me money.
I think that Rand should actually file put a bill forward to defund the NSA completely if he doesn't believe in big government and all that, and he's worried about so-called Obama's snoops. Never mind the fact that the NSA is actually paid for by the Congress. They actually put all the money in the coffers of the NSA that's used for all these things, and they can actually all the oversight committees that directly deal with it certainly come from there.
Right.
The NSA is not a cabinet position or some nonsense. So I think it behooves all the Tea Party Republicans and Rand Paul especially to start defunding large sections of the military that they're concerned with.
Yes.
Go ahead and do that.
Who needs a Navy, really?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Let's see it. Standing armies, they're not in the Constitution.
Nah, screw it.
For it. I just want you to see you do it. I mean, it's one thing to call it Obama's snoops, but they're your snoops, too, Rand.
Yes. By the way, in a related story, Hal.
Yes.
I was waiting till you were here, and I back up on the whole Edward Snowden NSA.
Sure.
But it's just, we've talked about this a lot. There are consequences. The U.S. has become embroiled in a new row over its controversial spying for row. With allies, France, and Mexico. This is what Melissa Fitzgerald was saying to us, that she has a lot of friends, in the NSC and places like that. Mm-hmm. And she said it's not just our enemies. It makes our friends less likely to help us. And so, anyway, they condemned revelations about Washington tapping millions of phone calls, the allegations from leaks from Edward Snowden, marred a visit to Paris by U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry, where he discussed moves to try to end the war in Syria. I'm just saying that's stuff that's important stuff that's in our interest that...
Yeah,
more
but
difficult.
He also pointed out what the NSA has been doing, including spying on our allies and hacking the phone of the president of Brazil.
They also spy on us. That's the thing that's been very constant throughout this, is that all these countries that are complaining about that, with the exception of the ones that don't have the ability to do it
at
all.
That's what I mean. I don't know how this is news, except that it is marring our relations with people. And that's exactly how I was going to get to that. The last sentence is, France itself has also been accused of spying. Of course! This is news. Le Monde reported in recent months that intelligence services has intercepted all communications in the country, stocking telephone and computer data for years. So
there is no way, by the way, that that this revelation doesn't proves a causality in it. It just shows the act. And so if France, for example, was primary in that they had initiated some sort of spying with us over some sort of trade deal or whatever, or it bugged some rooms during the G20 or blah, 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 our response to that and our seeking out who did it and actually following the digital chain to whomever started it would constitute us spying against France because that's where it ended. And so only showing half of it
and
doesn't
in this story,
prove
of course,
anything,
it says Glenn Greenwald says Washington has spied on all Latin American countries and he's going to report about each case in the region. I mean, again, what is the point of that but just to try to further damage U.S. relations with...
And the idea that a lot of these countries, quite frankly, the leaders of them over time in different phases, because this doesn't happen, this isn't a constant, it's been a different phase, you know, points in time, have been actually had elevated presidents and leaders who came from, you know, either were supported by cartel money or were running, you know, on an extreme ticket, that kind of thing. And our government will go, okay, for a time we need to monitor these guys because this is fairly serious. This affects geopolitical stability in the region.
They're going to do it.
John Kerry said,
protecting the security of our citizens in today's world is a very complicated, very challenging task because there are lots of people out there seeking to do harm to other people. Lots of countries are engaged in the activity of trying to protect their citizens in the world. Our goal is always to try to find the right balance between protecting the privacy and security of our citizens. But, you know, I'm just saying there's been a lot. I mean, Syria is important. I mean, and France helping us with that is, you know, anyway.
Is a big deal. And most of the stuff, by the way, most of this spying, unfortunately, has very little to do, both sides, from these countries spying on us and vice versa, with actual security matters. A lot of it has to do with trade stuff, that during these trade meetings and during these exchanges. Now, most of the money trade in a lot of these countries is related either tacitly through to, drug money, and our government is no different. There's tons of drug money that flow through our banks that keep things afloat from the low end of, you know, the pot chain that keeps Kentucky afloat through the cash economy that goes on there to major banks laundering billions of dollars of drug money tied into these banks are supporting this candidate. This candidate actually won. They're tied to drug money that is actually going to terrorist organizations. And in that, there is no way you go after just the terrorist money that's going back and forth and not look up the chain and realize that this email address is attached to that email address. They're going to do the spying whether they started to do that in the first place or not, because all this stuff is tied together, even here.
Right. So the other issue, obviously, a lot of people on the left talking about that's in the news again today, Hal, is drones.
Yeah.
Human rights groups, two of them, have are pressing the U.S. to account for errant drone strikes. The number of civilians killed in CIA drone strikes in Pakistan and Yemen is greater than the U.S. has acknowledged, according to Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch, who also call for the U.S. to open investigations into the attacks. White House Press Secretary Jake Carney said the administration was reviewing these reports carefully. He said, to the extent that these reports claim that the U.S. has acted contrary to international law, we would strongly disagree. The administration has repeatedly emphasized the extraordinary care we take to make sure counterterrorism actions are in accordance with all applicable law. We are choosing the course of action least likely to result in the loss of innocent life.
But that Pakistani girl who was shot by the Taliban met with Obama and said that the drone strikes are causing more terrorism. I mean,
and I will say they are symptomatic. Our problem is when we look at them as the disease itself, and they're not. Imperial action or going it alone policy, or the fact that we are dealing with terrorism in a very unilateral way. Is when we're having to snipe people or kill people or take out terrorists is the issue. How we do it isn't necessarily. Drones aren't any better or worse than teams of soldiers that end up going in. The only difference is you end up with a higher chance that there are dead soldiers. So generals are always going to send drones in rather than send in soldiers.
A senior counterterrorism counsel for Human Rights Watch said her organization pointed out unlawful killings but was not calling for an end to the U.S. program nor labeling them unlawful weapons. She said, we recognize that in some cases drones may be more protective of human life than other types of weapons. Instead, she just said she wants the Obama administration to provide more transparency. Mm-hmm. But again, it's the same as the NSA. Sometimes it's hard to have transparency when you're talking about stuff like this.
Exactly. Because they're, I mean, because it's a very murky world to begin with, right. You know. The issue was, there, you know, there
like
was
you can't go, by the way, here's where we're sending a drone, so everybody, all the innocent
clear out, yeah,
get out
everybody
there,
move
so
except the bad guys.
It doesn't, right.
Yeah. Well, it's like saying we need total transparency of our, of the CIA or whatever in open committee hearings, which is the big call. And like,
right.
It, look, you, people's ears don't stop at our border. Anything that's heard in open committee is heard by the entire world. So, right. Of course, there's going to be stuff held back. The issue that I have is that we had a group of soldiers, very, you know, a big story that happened during the Afghan, you know, in the Afghanistan war, where they were sent to a place where we were given intelligence that there was something, you know, militants were planning some sort of terrorist attack. It turned out to be some people celebrating the birth of a child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when they swept in there, soldiers, people, human beings with guns in their arms, swept in there, shot the place up. They had a guy zip-tied in a corner. Well, they realized they'd gotten bad intelligence. Instead of saying, we got bad intel and we're pulling out, they pulled the bullets out of the bodies to hide the fact that American soldiers had done it. And this was a big scandal. Yeah. This was a big deal. And these guys got in trouble for it in a big way. Some of, you know, people lost commissions. There were, there were charges filed in it. But in the process, I don't see that as any different than a drone strike that makes the same mistake. It's the nature of the kind of war that you're fighting and the care that needs to be taken if you're going to take action, no matter who does it. And if you're arguing that it shouldn't be done, I'm fine with that. If you're arguing that it should be done and it's a blitz, then I don't – you can argue that, but I don't believe it. There will always be this middle ground. You don't get rid of cops because cops will shoot a kid who's carrying a replica gun in the street like happened yesterday.
Yep. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, at least it's a good place to see celebrities.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
I love that song.
Headbanging House Parsons.
No, I just
studio with us.
I've always loved that song because it's like, white people, don't be concerned. We've got the beat. It's over here. Come feel it. It's much more ready than you find it here. And this is what the beat. There it is. You got it. It's like Steve Martin when he finds
totally
made
for
jazz.
Stephanie.
Totally.
No, I was in spinning class last week, and there was they have us clap during one part,
and I was noticing
all the white people are
just falling off the bus.
Disco is funk for white people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Hold on if you can.
Can't miss
try
it.
To stick to that point and just move
you
your
can't
feet.
Miss the beat.
That's what line dancing is for. It's like, we'll all do it together, so I'm not embarrassed, okay? So if I screw up, everybody screws up. We're
dancing
all wrong.
For white people.
Let's be wrong together.
It's like the hokey pokey.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, it's my safe zone.
Yeah, you don't see black people dancing the hokey pokey.
No.
Hal is not into the pug wearing the Miley Cyrus wrecking ball costume.
No. Because he just looks like he's got a bandage covering some sort of big growth on his side, and that doesn't look Miley Cyrus on the top of it. It looks like a naked Barbie doll that looks vaguely like Christina Aguilera with a couple of ribs removed.
If you'd like to see the picture, it's up at Stephanie Miller's Facebook page.
He's a handsome, romantic man. Okay. Hey, everybody, and in related news, there was did you see the alligator shopping at Walmart?
Yes.
Huh?
Where?
In Florida.
Of course.
Yeah. How'd the greeter feel about that? Did they just, they didn't do anything? They didn't.
Right.
Hi, Walmart.
Welcome to Walmart.
Right. I don't know if you know this, but all Walmart greeters are trained in alligator wrestling in Florida.
Wow.
It's a requirement for the job.
Do a Steve Irwin
holding
a chicken in one hand and a baby in the other.
Right.
The
yeah.
It was in the Apopka Walmart.
Apopka?
Right, Apopka, Florida. Apopka police officers tried to lure the gator away.
That sounds apocryphal. Apopka.
I love that they probably have a Walmart spokesperson, you know, all sweaty, like mopping his brow going, well, clearly reptiles enjoy a good deal as well. Yes, they're frugal shoppers. There's all sorts of good buys. And, there aren't alligators in all our stores. Can I just say that?
For example,
get it off me.
When you're being bitten in half, you'll say goodbye.
Right.
Jim Ward, all right. Gator stopped in the entryway, causing the automatic doors to open.
Oh.
He must have been like, oh, wow. Look at this.
He was looking for the deer that tried to shop there like 3 years ago. Yeah. Remember the deer
I
in
remember.
Walmart? Right, yeah.
Where's that deer?
Deers and automatic doors. Okay. That's loads of fun.
I wish we had these in my swamp. The apaka-paka. Police officers are trying to lure the gator away as customers gather to watch and snap pictures.
Here, gator, gator. Mm-hmm.
Which is probably not wise. Hang on, honey, let me get
a... Hey, Wally. Come here, Wally. I want a picture with Wally Gator.
Yeah. Why doesn't he have a bowler hat on? Why is he up on his hind legs? I got a couple of questions to ask him. Dead serious, dead serious.
Hang
I got
on.
Some questions for
Hang
the
on,
alligator.
Honey. Hang on, honey. Let me get the red eye out.
Were you headed for the grocery aisle or the electronics?
Honey,
I just need
honey,
to know.
You are getting too close. I'm telling you right now.
That's why I'm glad they sell guns at Walmart. Clickety-clack. Patow. Sorry, officer. Patow. Sorry, kid, on a rotating horse ride. Kapow. I can't hit this gator for nothing. Kapow. Well, the door's always open now. Kapow. Starbucks. Oops.
Oh.
Yeah, coffee's too expensive anyway.
Yeah, right. Oh. What do you mean they don't sell ammo?
Listen to a love story about these two crazy kids. British groom-to-be was in charge of booking the venue for his wedding last April. He forgot.
Oops.
Rather than admitting his mistake to his fiance, he did the reasonable thing. He waited until the morning of the wedding, and then he called in a bomb threat to the venue. The plan worked, sort of. The building was evacuated. The bride, already in her wedding dress, was left standing in the street unaware.
Oh, wow.
For the time being of her fiance's mistake until police... arrived the next day.
I
to
hope she didn't have to crap in the street in her
mm-hmm. No, like in Bridesmaids, yeah. No.
In the middle of Michigan Avenue.
Right. Yeah.
Here's the fun fact. He and his fiancé are still together, even though he will be in jail for...
Oh.
Do you think she'll ever bring that up again? No.
No.
Well, what do you have to do on your anniversary?
Remember?
Like rob a bank?
Yeah, right. You gotta rob a bank on your anniversary, and then the next one we're gonna both cut. Like I'll get on an airplane with a loaded handgun on our third anniversary. And
all right. Speaking of marriage, so as we know, came to New Jersey despite Chris Christie's best efforts. Did you see he was in the?
I'm still
debate?
Against it, but I'm gonna not be against it because I'm trying to run in 2016.
Yeah, and New Jersey voters by a margin of almost 2-1 support same-sex marriage. He in a gubernatorial debate, he was asked what he would do with one of his children. Told him that he was gay, and he said he would give them a big hug, which they may not survive. So there's that.
Oh.
What'd you say?
He's like Bob in Fight Club.
Yeah, I can't hear you. Right. What do you say?
With his gyno.
Big moosey. Yeah. Right, yeah.
He said he would give them a hug and then acknowledge that to them that dad believes marriage is between one man and one woman.
Whatever,
dad.
Yeah, that's what you would say. Yeah, that's like, what you would say to your
kid. Well, I think you're bigot now. Can you stop hugging me? Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, the nice thing is...
I'm going to hug the gay out of you.
Yeah, that'll work. Yeah, it's sort of a nicer way than, of course, whatever the Focus on the Family guy says. You basically, you know, show them your genitals in the shower and then spank it out of them. That works.
Right, yeah, because that's so
a great
not gay.
Plan. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's.
Did you see one religious right wacko wants to file a class action lawsuit against homosexuality?
Yeah.
So we'll have to get the lawyer from the gays to see what he thinks
I can't
about
wait
that.
To hear the ads on the radio.
Have you turned gay because you worked with asbestos? You may be eligible for billions of dollars in compensation if your family has had to deal with the fact that you're gay and has felt uncomfortable at the mall or talking to their weird friends during shoots.
Are you suffering from gay sothelioma?
Right.
Of course, we support our advertiser, Danziger Delano, who is one of those mesothelioma.
Sure, but I mean the irony that you know that's about an actual disease, and they're forming a class action lawsuit because people were lied to and found themselves to be diseased by no fault of their own. This guy's going to file a thing like because here's the thing: is he going to file it with God? Because quite frankly, if he believes in God and that God makes everything, there are gay animals, there's homosexuality in every species on the planet.
Who made these people?
He's going to talk to God's lawyer.
Yeah.
People who win a class action lawsuit, they usually get like a coupon.
Yeah, nickel. Right.
It's like
here's a
the
coupon.
Phone call cost me $20. I was on the phone with this lawyer for an hour and a half.
It costs more to mail this coupon to me than it did.
Right. It's like the residuals. Checks I get from Nightstand from 1995 or whatever.
Ooh.
They're like 72 cents. But I still get them. They're there.
We won against the game.
Hey, free parking.
It's like the things that Oprah would give away at the end of the Here's yeah. a, you get a pen, you get a pencil. Pencil?
Yeah,
what?
Right.
The hell? Whatever, well, we, the cars are gone?
We sued the number two company that makes pencils, and we all got a pencil. $1 billion settlement, we all got a pencil.
I got a number three pencil.
Well,
that pencil?
Works.
That's such not even the good lad. All right, kids, big sexy liberal announcements this week for the very last 2013 show and the big 2014 election year ones coming up. Hal Sparks is also going to be at...
I'm at Denver Comedy Works, not this weekend, but the following weekend, the whatever, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of November. Fantastic,
fantastic
club in Denver. It's great. And, of course, it'll be
City by the Bay.
Mile High City. And of course, higher now due to the legal changes that have happened right there, I suppose. Probably should be the easiest job I've ever had performing in Denver.
Take
they
a pedal
already
boat.
Be giggling.
Take a pedal boat across the bay in
right.
Denver to yeah. see Hal Sparks.
Denver!
All right.
City by the Bay!
Right. We love you, Hal Sparks. See you
Thank
tomorrow
you.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.